Calvary covers it all. Those are fitting words to introduce us again to the final words that Jesus spoke before he died, as the Apostle John recorded and as were just read for us a few minutes ago. In the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, we read that when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Then bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. We reflected on those three words, "It is finished," actually one word in the original language. We reflected on those in 2019, 3 years ago on Good Friday. And so much has changed since then, hasn't it? But God's word does not change, and the gospel does not change. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And there's always more to see. There's always more for us to discover in those three words that we have in our Bibles. What did the Lord mean? Last words are so often significant. And I can't think of any last words that are more significant than these. What did Jesus mean when he said with his last breath, "It is finished"? J.C. Ryle, the pastor, said this, quote, "Such a word spoken on such an occasion by such a person at such a moment just before death contains depths which no one has ever completely fathomed." But if we can just begin, if we can even begin to understand what Jesus meant by those words, it is going to do us good. It is going to bless and comfort our souls and strengthen our faith. And so I want to point out three things. There are many more, but three wonderful truths of what Jesus meant when he spoke those words on that Good Friday. The first thing is that Jesus finished living a perfect human life. Pastor Dave already referred to that. That Jesus Christ finished living a perfect human life. Do you realize what good news that is? If you can recognize that you have not lived a perfect life, then you will begin to understand the good news of Jesus living a perfect human life. Back in this same gospel, in chapter 17, here in John, Jesus says this. He's praying to the Father in heaven. And he says in John chapter 17, verse 4, "I have glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Can any of us ever say that our work is really done? You can probably relate to the unfinished to-do list. Well, Jesus Christ did exactly what God the Father expected of him and desired from him. At every moment, he brought glory to God. In the Westminster Catechism, the first question is, what is the chief end of man? In other words, what is the purpose of human beings? And the answer that they came up with was to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Well, Jesus Christ fulfilled that perfectly. In fact, back in the Gospel of John in chapter 8, Jesus said, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone because I always do what pleases him." If you're honest, if I'm honest, if we're honest, we know how much we fail to please God, don't we? We fail to do what God has commanded, what God expects in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. But Jesus said that he always did what pleased the Father. Those of us who might be called people pleasers, we know what it is to want the approval of others, don't we? We want to please so often. We want to please our peers. We want to please our parents, our teachers, our coach, our congregation. Some of us want the approval of people on social media that we've never met and will never meet. And unfortunately, many of us care far too much about pleasing people and far too little about pleasing God. Jesus did not live that way. Jesus was not that way. Jesus never was a people pleaser. He was a people lover, never a people pleaser. He wasn't swayed by appearances, the Bible says. He didn't sort of have his finger to the wind of popular opinion. He just did what was right. He spoke the truth. He fulfilled God's law. He loved the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loved his neighbor as himself. Jesus lived before an audience of one. Every minute, every hour, every day of his earthly life. He finished everything on this earth that God called him to do. Every good word, every good deed, every miracle, every teaching, every task, every prayer. On the report card of Jesus' life, there was no incomplete, there was no did not meet expectations. He perfectly pleased the Father in everything he did. And that's good news. For those of us who fall short of the glory of God on a daily and hourly basis, even though we may have a nagging sense of imperfection and incompleteness, it hangs over so much of what we do. We can be sure that Jesus Christ stands in our place as one who finished living a perfectly human life. The second thing that we can understand from Jesus' words, "It is finished," is that he fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. Prophecies were, you know, words of what would happen, promises of God, events that God foretold by his Holy Spirit through his prophets. And we read this in John chapter 19, verse 28, when Jesus knew everything was now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I'm thirsty." Now, of course, there were some things that were still yet to be fulfilled, that still are yet to be fulfilled. At that time, he hadn't risen from the dead yet, and he hadn't ascended to heaven yet. And there are now things that haven't yet been fulfilled. His second coming, we await. The final judgment that's to come, the redemption of our bodies and the establishment of his kingdom on the earth, all of those things are still to come. But what was fulfilled were all the Old Testament scriptures that spoke about what Jesus would do. His work of redemption, going back all the way to the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, where it was promised that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. Jesus Christ fulfilled this when he died on the cross. He secured our redemption, our forgiveness, and the ultimate defeat of Satan when he died. John records that a jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they fixed a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it up to his mouth. This is as Jesus hung on the cross in the final moments of his agony, and this was to fulfill, again, what was foretold in the Old Testament Psalms, "For my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." He fulfilled this and every other one of the Old Testament prophecies about his redemptive work. So what's the difference? What difference does it make for us? It makes all the difference because it means that you and I can be confident that God will fulfill his plan. God will bring everything to pass that he has promised. He did it in every way, fulfilling all of his promises about the work of Jesus Christ. Don't you think that God is going to finish what he began and fulfill every promise that he's made? That is good news when life doesn't make sense, when everything seems random. How good it is to know that a sovereign God is guiding history for the plan of glorifying his Son and redeeming his people. It ought to strengthen us to keep trusting in God's plan for your life even when things don't make sense, even when there are disappointments and detours. Because Jesus fulfilled the prophecies, we can trust that God will keep his word and fulfill every good thing that he has promised, especially the promise of eternal life. So Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. And then third, here's the third and final thing I want to point out today about those words, it is finished. Number three, he finished the work of our redemption. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11, 12. This is what the author of the letter to the Hebrews writes. He entered the most holy place once for all time, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. All of the Old Testament sacrifices. I mean, the writer to the Hebrews says it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. All of those Old Testament sacrifices were meant to show the ugliness of sin, the holiness of God, and the need for a sacrifice. They were all pointing forward to the ultimate Lamb of God, the only one who could ever take away the sins of the world, Jesus Christ. This is the only way that sinners like you and me can approach a holy God, is through Jesus. Sin has to be cleansed. Atonement has to be made. And Jesus did that once and for all by his blood when he shed that on the cross, the ultimate sacrifice once and for all for our sins. And so what this means for you and me is that when we trust in what Jesus has done, we know that God accepts us. We know that God receives us. We know that God redeems us forever because of what Jesus did. Our debt is paid. Our sins are paid for. I mentioned before that those words, it is finished, they found that same word on ancient Greek receipts for taxes, meaning paid in full. Paid in full. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to believers in the ancient city of Colossae, he said this, when you, speaking to believers in Jesus, when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he, that is God, made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. As has been said before, Christ paid a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. Do you realize that you could never pay for your sins? If you're not a believer, what are you going to do with all your sins when you stand before God on that day of judgment? I've trusted in Jesus Christ, who paid it in full. And we're invited to trust in him and to put our faith in the only one who can pay our sin debt. And when we do, we can know that God forgives us, that God's wrath against us has been turned away through the sacrifice of his son, so that we are no longer condemned. Paul said this in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As that old hymn goes, we sing it sometimes here, Jesus paid it all, not some. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. When you drive home today through the snow, remember the line of that hymn and think of what Jesus Christ did for you, wiping out your sin debt fully and completely. Because of this, everyone who relies on him can rest in him. Can rest in him. You can rest when you trust in Jesus Christ. You can rest from trying to be good enough for God. You can rest from trying to earn God's love and approval and acceptance because you already have it in Jesus. You can rest from trying to prove yourself to others, from trying to atone for all of your sins, and you can rest from indulging in negative and condemning thoughts about yourself. You can rest from legalism, You can rest from license. You can rest from religion. You can rest from rebellion. You can rest from dread and fear and guilt and regrets. You can rest from all of that because Jesus said it is finished. Because Jesus finished the work of living a perfectly human life and fulfilled all the prophecies about him and finished the work of our redemption, we can not only rest in him, we can rejoice in him, we can hope in him, we can live for him. Not out of a sense of law, but out of a sense of freedom and joy because of what Jesus Christ did, we can have purpose in him. We can have an unshakable hope in him as we wait for him. Why? Because the same Lord who said, "It is finished," will finish the good work that he began in us. He will. He will fulfill it. He will bring it to completion. And because of that, we can worship him. I'm going to invite the team to come up now and lead us in a song of worship to the Lord who finished the work of our salvation. Because of all that our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, he is worthy. He's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our obedience. And he's worthy of all our worship. And so let's worship him now in song as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper.